Welcome to the Your Courageous Life podcast, where we discuss psychology and tools to help you create better habits, cultivate discipline, and live with courage, aka grit and emotional resilience. I'm your host, Kate Swoboda. Learn more about my books and get additional resources at yourcourageouslife.com. And now, here's today's episode. All right. Let's get in here with today. I'm going to cover some questions that you can use to better understand yourself. And I think that it's really important that from time to time, people are going, okay, what's the state of the union on my life, so to speak? I've talked about in other podcast episodes how to up-level your life, and one of the ways to do that is through a life audit. But I think that there's also something that's kind of fuzzier, I guess you could say, than a life audit. Because I think of a life audit as being examining the gap between what you say you want for your life and how you actually spend your time, what you actually prioritize, what's actually happening. But today I'm really talking about, how do you know more about who you are? How do you understand yourself? And if that's really been up for you lately, it's likely because you're in the midst of a transition of some kind. Maybe you're trying to make a big decision, like, do I pivot my career? Maybe you want to change something about yourself or your life, and you realize that understanding who you are is critical to navigating what comes next. Because without really understanding who you are and understanding yourself, it's hard to know what ladder you want to prop up against the next wall. There's that saying that, you know, when you're setting a goal or when you're saying, I want something to be different, make sure your ladder is leaning up against the right wall, because who wants to go to the effort of climbing something and all of that to get over a wall that isn't even for them? I also think that when you understand yourself, and this is something that I see in myself, of course, and then in my one-on-one coaching clients, you really become more confident and self-aware. And that's because you have an inherent trust in your own capabilities, and also because there's a sense of, okay, here's the complete picture of who I am. I know where my strengths lie. I know where my weaknesses lie. I know what's tricky for me to navigate and what I'm still in process with. And that doesn't mean that you will necessarily limit what you want for your life based on strengths or weaknesses or what's messy and still in process. I don't think that we should make decisions about what's possible from the vantage point we're in right now, because if you stretch, you might find that there's a new horizon for you, so to speak. But at the same time, I see why you would want to really get into trusting in your own capabilities, because then you have that ability to pivot. You have that ability to say, okay, I thought it was going to be this. Now I realize it's that. When you understand yourself, you have more of that inherent trust in your own capabilities. So I'm going to ask you some questions today that will, you know, I'm not going to have the answers for you, of course, but they will be questions that I really think are best answered if you, you know, have the ability to grab a pen and a piece of paper and just kind of write out longhand what you think your answers are that fit best for you. Just really sinking into some of these questions as a matter of self-exploration. All right, first question. And for each of these, I will show why I'll talk about why I think that this is a question that helps you to better understand yourself. So question one, what gets you into a flow state? Now, if you have not heard of flow states before, this is a state of mind that is described as being really high creativity. It was first discovered by Mikhail Csikszentmihalyi. I have a trouble pronouncing his last name. It's long, multisyllabic, but I tried to do my best with that. And basically, flow state, it's a state of high creativity, a sort of timelessness. The ideas are flowing, why it's called a flow state. As challenges come up, you find that you are able to navigate your way through them. So what gets you into a flow state? It could be a creative activity like painting or drawing or writing. I actually think it's possible too to get into a flow state, like if you have a tricky problem to solve, right? Like I sometimes can do that, or I've experienced it before. I wouldn't say it's like my go-to, but I would definitely say that there's a kind of mode that I'm capable of going into when there's kind of a tricky project with multiple moving parts. And when I can click in the right way, I just suddenly start seeing how, okay, so this part could go there and this could happen here. And then maybe, ooh, that would be kind of tricky. Oh, but you know what we could do about that would be, that's some level of, I would even say my internal dialogue is moving too fast when I'm in a flow state for me to isolate sentences when I'm in that place, but it's something like that. So the question is, what gets you into a flow state? Why is this a question for better understanding yourself? It shows you your strengths. I know there are a lot of tests out there where you can learn what your strengths are, and I think they're all great and they can be really insightful. And at the same time, I think that a lot of times we overthink it. And so it's just, it can be as simple as, what gets you into a flow state? Because whatever gets you into a flow state is going to indicate something that comes really naturally to you. And the things that come in really naturally to you, those are your strengths. I heard it best described once. It's so obvious once someone says it, but like, we'll make these lists of our strengths and our weaknesses, and we'll be like, okay, here's my list of one and here's my list of the other. But actually, what if the things that are our strengths are the things that make us feel stronger? And the things that are our weaknesses are the things that make us feel weaker? What if it's that simple? Like, what if, you know, analytical thing, like, let's see how I want to say this. When I gave the example a moment ago of how sometimes I can click in with like a really tricky problem and start going, okay, this here, et cetera. I would say one of my strengths is analytical thinking and strategic thinking. I think it's actually something that I bring to being a coach, because people come to coaching when they feel like they want some kind of outside the box thinking or a different way of looking at something that has been a chronic issue. And so my ability to bring analytical thinking and strategic thinking to a coaching session is something that is a benefit in that environment. It's also something that is a strength. I feel really good, really strong, really useful when I'm able to tap into that strategic analytical thinking. So what gets you into a flow state? Could be an athletic activity. Again, you want to look for, it doesn't feel like effort. It feels like even as challenges arise, things are just kind of bubbling up to the surface. This is a possible solution. There's a sense of timelessness to it. It just feels like flow. I wish there were better words to say it than that, but that is the truth. It feels like flow. Next question. What is your level of somatic awareness? What is your level of somatic awareness? Somatic, S-O-M-A-T-I-C. Somatic awareness is your ability to tell what the feelings in your body mean. And the greater somatic awareness you have, the greater accuracy you have with pinpointing what the emotions mean. Here's an example. Have you ever been looking forward to a, say, job offer, a new job, or maybe a move, or like something that's kind of big and it's like on the horizon and all that stuff? When you were in that situation, you might have noticed that even though it was a situation you were looking forward to, like, I want the job offer, you felt afraid. And you might have been kind of confused about, why is it that I feel afraid, okay? And if you feel afraid and you go, okay, I feel afraid about this, maybe it's the wrong job for me, maybe I shouldn't do it, maybe it's a sign from the universe that I'm feeling so afraid, da, da, da. Somatic awareness is your ability to go, I'm feeling afraid. That's the feeling in my body. I'm not necessarily reacting to the feeling in my body and making my next life decision based on the feeling in my body, but I'm aware of what the feeling is. And I can tell that there's fear here. Now let me check and see if I can feel excitement. So it's that ability to gauge what it is that's true through the somatic feelings you have in your body and to do that with accuracy. So the question, what's your level of somatic awareness when it comes to ways to better understand yourself, is a question that's about how much you differentiate between what you feel and what you think, how aware you are of what you feel, how aware you are of how what you feel might influence what you think. All right, next question. This is a juicy one. What's your shadow self? So the shadow self, this is a metaphor of sorts for the part of ourselves that maybe is less developed, maybe that we have trouble owning. And this question, what's your shadow self, is really about understanding what your level of self-awareness is about weaknesses. There is sometimes this emphasis on, if I want to feel better about myself, I've got to focus on my strengths, not look at my weaknesses, focus on the positive, not look at the negative. I don't think that that bears out in the psychological literature. I think that a failure to look at the things that are quote unquote negative or that are weaknesses means that they often operate in our lives unconsciously. And I think that's where this image of the shadow comes from. The idea that a shadow trails behind you, you're just focused on the big, bright, beautiful sunlight ahead of you. You're not focused at all on that shadow trailing behind you. But the reality is that that shadow is trailing behind you. So how self-aware are you about your shadow self? How self-aware are you about the places where you're weaker? And by weaker, I mean just really simple, normal human things like being reactive, like being self-critical and not practicing reframing. Like you might have a weakness around being self-critical, but then not doing anything about it. There are lots of places where you have weaknesses. You know what those are. The more that you understand your weaknesses, the more you can integrate them. I feel like that's the paradox, right? Like we don't want to give too much attention to weaknesses and overfocus on them, but that's really true of anything. We don't want to overfocus on anything. People who overfocus on what they believe their positive qualities are become quite narcissistic or self-aggrandizing or, you know, braggy or whatever it might be. So what's your shadow self? Do you have accurate self-awareness about your weaknesses? And this is also really important to get correct because sometimes the things that we beat ourselves up for are actually not the areas that are the biggest deal. They're just the areas where we beat ourselves up often are places where we feel insecure, not necessarily areas of weakness. So differentiating between all of that, what's your shadow self? Next question. What are the three hardest life experiences that you've had and what did you learn from them? What are the three hardest life experiences you've had and what did you learn from them? This is a question that will show you, as you seek to understand yourself, your tenacity. It will show you your proof that you have walked through hard things, which you can remember the next time things are hard. And the three hardest life experiences that you've had often shape us in really, really profound ways. So take some time, really sit with that question. I would say first write out the three hardest life experiences you've had without going to the part where you're trying to figure out what did I learn from them. First, just start with those three experiences, then get to, all right, what did I learn from this? Next question, and it's the next to last. This is not going to be my longest podcast episode ever because I feel like this is a lot of me giving you these questions to better understand yourself. And then the work really is about how you sit with the questions. So this question is next to last, and it is, what have you truly committed to 100% and what were the results? What have you truly, truly, truly committed to 100%? And what were the results? This question for understanding yourself shows you whether or not, first, you have ever truly committed to anything. So, and then that can open up its own Pandora's box of questions, right? Because if you realize I've never truly committed to anything, then it's like, okay, why not? What's your self-belief? What were the limitations that you bought into? Why not? So what have you truly committed to 100%? And what were the results? Looking at the results of that true deep commitment shows you that hard work pays off. And I think it also shows to some degree what matters most to you. Because who would truly commit 100% with all of their being to something that doesn't actually really matter to them? Last, where are the opportunities for you to take complete ownership over your life? Where are the opportunities for you to take complete ownership over your life? This question will bring up a few things depending on the person, obviously, but the first thing that I hope it gets you thinking about is, do I take complete ownership over my life? Do I feel, sitting here right now, listening to this podcast, like I really, truly, I am the one in the driver's seat of my life? The quality of my life, it's on me. So first, do you take responsibility, complete ownership over your life? And then this question also becomes an exploration into how much you're willing to take ownership and responsibility for your life. Always a tricky one to play with because, of course, we cannot control all of our life experiences, obviously. Things are going to happen. But we can control our intentions, so where we place our intentions, where we place our attention, and whether or not we react or we respond. So all of that even could be an opportunity for you to go, oh, I hadn't thought about it that way before. This is a place where you can take complete ownership over your life. When you set your intentions, do you set them from a place of, I own this and this is my intention here? When you place your attention on something, your focus, your attention, am I choosing where to place my attention? Do I get distracted by shiny objects? Do I think that I should put my attention on what other people think is important rather than what I think is important? And that, of course, is a place to take ownership as well. And then whether you react or respond. And reaction is fear-based. It's usually not conscious. It's not a place of taking ownership. Responsiveness is courage-based. It is going, let me slow down. Let me check in with me. Let me check in with my intention and my attention. Let me see where I want to take responsibility for my life and let me respond accordingly. So where are the opportunities for you to take complete ownership over your life? And if I was sitting here answering this question today, because I think it's a toughie, the thing that bubbles to the top of my own personal list is always about when things, quote unquote, go wrong in my estimation, how do I get reactive in the sense that I don't always trust the process? I get perfectionistic and I think it shouldn't have happened that way. There's this other way that I really wanted it to happen. Maybe I'm holding expectations, but it's this idea that it didn't happen with this perfect alignment the way that I wanted it to happen. So it shouldn't have happened that way. And therefore, I'm frustrated, I'm sad, I'm pissed off, I'm feeling bad about myself or my life or whatever it might be. And that is a place that I have been working on and currently don't feel like I take complete ownership over my life. So I share that with you because I think that as you're going through all of these questions, you're not going to find that you do all this perfectly, right? Like you might be like, okay, got it. What gets me into a flow state? I feel good about that. What's my shadow self? Feel like I understand that. But when we get into What have you truly committed to 100%? And what were the results? What did you learn from your three hardest life experiences? You know, where are the opportunities for you to take complete ownership of your life? You're not going to find that you do it perfectly with all of those areas. You're going to look back on the three hardest life experiences you've had, and part of what you will have learned will be, I wish I had done this or that differently. If I could do that over again, here's what I'd change. And when you pose this question to yourself of what have you truly committed to 100%, you realize, okay, there's some places where I have really not done that, even though something was really important to me. Same thing, you're not going to be doing it perfectly. And of course, with this last question. So I'm kind of putting myself up on the chopping block by saying, like, hey, here's something I work on. And I try to work on it by going, okay, if I'm going to take ownership over my life, the first thing I need to do is not expect that life is supposed to go the way that I have strategized and thought it should go. Super simple in theory, a lot harder when I really want to control it. All right, I'm going to recap the questions one more time just to make sure that you've got them. And I am really excited to hear what you're coming up with. I would love it, actually, if you want to send an email to support@yourcourageouslife.com with the subject line episode 123. This is actually episode 123. Look at that. And tell me like what your answers were to the questions. I would love to hear that. And then, of course, follow me on social media. TikTok and Instagram now are my jams, Kate Courageous on both. And I will be posting content tied to this episode this week. I would love for you to comment with what you're noticing as you go through these questions. But here they are one more time. What gets you into a flow state, which can show you your strengths? What's your level of somatic awareness, which can show you how much you differentiate between what you feel and what you think, and anywhere where maybe what you feel sometimes becomes what you think or how you behave? What's your shadow self, which shows your self-awareness about weaknesses? What are the three hardest life experiences you've had, and what did you learn from them? That shows you your tenacity, your proof that you've walked through hard things. What have you truly committed to 100%, and what were the results? Shows you whether or not you've truly committed to anything. Shows you that hard work pays off. And where are the opportunities for you to take complete ownership over your life, which really shows you how much you are willing to take responsibility for your life. All right, that's today's episode of the Your Courageous Life podcast. Thank you for listening. To dive in deeper and continue the work, head on over to yourcourageouslife.com. See you there.